quite a while since we've been here at Taylor Mill. Matter of fact, we was talking about it this afternoon. I think that my middle boy was a baby, and so that puts it at about 11 years ago if he was a baby at that point in time. So it's been a little bit. So it's good to be with you, and I will say with the pastor that there's probably not a better way for any of us to go into the new year than an attempt to revive ourselves. And, right. You know, America, we have become a place of political correctness. Actually, we've become a place of political incorrectness. And they have a warped way of looking at that. Right. And the think tanks and the political people and those that profess themselves to be wise, the Bible has something to say about that. He said they became fools. Here's why they would be foolish. If I went on something as conservative tonight, if maybe even the what we would call conservative in the media is maybe something like Fox News, they would laugh me off of the air if I told them that the only hope America's got is what's going on in this building right now. They would. They'd laugh me off of the place. I'm telling you, they wouldn't even want to have any kind of dialogue with me. They would think I was so far off track. But I'm going to tell you, whether they believe it or not, what's happening right here inside this building right now is the only thing holding America together at this point. Places across America that's having church right now and calling on the true, real God, it's the only thing holding us together. And if we don't have, they're not going to have revival, y'all. Hello? They're not going to have revival down at the bar tonight. They're going to have a party, but it ain't going to be our kind of party. Hello? They're not going to have revival at the bowling alley tonight. They're not going to have it at the skating rink or the movie house or wherever they're at. If we're going to have revival, it's going to start right in here. Actually, could I go a little farther and say it's going to start right in here? And when it starts right in here and it starts in your prayer closet at your house, it'll start in here. And then, brother, I'll tell you, there will be hope. I said there will be hope. Hallelujah. Well, some of you think you got your money's worth and you're ready to go home, but I haven't preached yet. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Thank you for the place to stay, the nice things that was there inside the kitchen. And, yeah, we do eat. Well, I guarantee you that crowd I got eats. And so we thank you and we appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts. Good to be here with the pastor and his family. And so, and all of our friends, longtime friends here, we're glad to be here. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 5. And as he lay and slept, this is talking about Elijah, under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. One more scripture, Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Is there anybody believes that right there? For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Stretch your hands this way and ask God to anoint us tonight. Lord, we need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the Spirit of God that's been present here already. God, I'm asking you to touch my mind, touch my lips of clay. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost fall on me. But Lord, don't just anoint me, but anoint everybody in this congregation right now. Move on us. Move around these altars in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said together, amen, amen and amen. I better say this before I get too far. It's good to have fellow Okies with us tonight. I know we have church with that crowd in here. So we transplanted us a couple of Kentucky girls. If the argument ever gets real good, just tell her Kentucky's the home of beautiful horses and fast women. It always helps. Hallelujah. Some of y'all don't remember that sign, do you, when you used to come into Kentucky? It didn't say that right there. It said the home of beautiful women and fast horses. Every once in a while I turn that around. But it's only in play. It's only in play. I do appreciate my wife. And she's a great help to me. My children, I appreciate them all being. I don't go anywhere without them. But I'm glad they do tag along with me. And something I found very interesting. She'll probably embarrass her me telling this. But that's part of being a minister in a minister's family, is getting embarrassed by what your dad says in the pulpit. In my case, it was my mother. But anyway, one way or the other. But a few days ago, right before Sister Martin passed away, she was laying in the bed and the medicine was getting to her. And she started talking about my wife. She said, I want to be like her. She's followed him all over the country and I want to be like that. And that made me feel good. It actually made me feel good. She has followed me all over the country, and I do appreciate that. I want to preach tonight for a little while if the Lord would help me, and I'll do my best to be conscious of the time. I do know tomorrow is Monday, and everybody's trying to get back in the swing of things. But I want to preach right now for just a little bit on the necessity of now. The necessity of now. The word necessity means an unavoidable need. An unavoidable need. And if you don't feel like that you need a revival, you're in really bad shape. It may take more time than we've got to help you hardly. Hello? All right. But if you've got any kind of spiritual inclination in you at all, if there's any kind of spiritual perception in you, if there's any kind of spiritual discernment in you at all, you realize that we are in a very critical time right now. Hello? Now, there's things, and I'm not going to get political. If I want to, I will. I'm not afraid to, and I will make strong political statements from the pulpit in a biblical manner if I feel like doing that. Hello? So I'm not afraid to do that. I'm sure not afraid of anybody shutting me down on it. And someday they'll probably throw me in jail, and then I'll have a jail ministry. And that will just be the way it is. One time, let me say this right here, one time I was at home, and the phone rang one day, and it was Jim Gillis on the other end. And he said, what are you doing? And I asked him, well, what are you doing? He said, I just got out of jail. I said, what was you in there for this time? He said, the same thing I was in there for last time, preaching. I said, it was a Memorial Day weekend or a Labor Day weekend, a long weekend. And he said they waited to book me in late Friday night. He said, so that they could hold me till the judge got back Tuesday. They was going to keep me in there as long as they could. And I said, well, man, it's Saturday. You're out. He said, yeah, I'll tell you what I did. He said, I got in there and I got to singing at the top of my lungs. Now, if y'all ever heard Brother Jim sing, that'd be enough to let him out. I promise you that right now. It's bad. And he said, I got to singing gospel songs at the top of my lungs. And he said, they hollered at me, cussed me. And said, they finally come down there and set a vacuum cleaner outside of my cell and just plugged it into the wall, turned it on, left. He said, I drowned it out. And he said, I sung every gospel song I knew and started on the Christmas carols, and they let me out of there. I want to tell you something. There is a necessity in the house of God for us to have a revival now. Can you say amen? And I just want to point out some things to you, and I'll be as brief as possible, as I said, but we've got Elijah here, and when I start reading, and for sake of time, I didn't read all the story, but as we come to this place right here, we find him in verse number 5. The Bible said he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Now, this sounds like just something that you would naturally do, but there was more to it than that. I want to point something out to you. Elijah has just come out of one of the greatest moves of God that there's ever been. We preached about it. We've talked about it. We sang about it. It was the meeting of God with him on Mount Carmel. And when the fire fell and consumed the water and the sacrifice and the altar and burned up everything. And I'm going to tell you, they had such a revival that they killed about 450 people. Real revival most of the time has casualties in it. Because somebody really don't want to measure up to where God wants them to be at. And 450 prophets of Baal have been annihilated. They're gone. And I mean, boy, that's getting on a roll right there. Hey, listen, how would y'all like to have a revival here where every one of your lost loved ones got saved? Anybody? Can you think of anybody you know you'd like to see get saved in this revival? It can happen. Hallelujah. How many would like to have a revival where everybody, what are we, Taylor Mill, we're in the city limits of Taylor Mill, I guess, right here. I don't understand. Everything runs together here for me, y'all. I'm sorry. But how would you like to have a revival where everybody in Taylor Mill got saved? Well, you ain't cheering too much about that because that seems kind of impossible to you. Hello? How would you like to have a revival where everybody in Cincinnati got saved? Forget that. How about Kentucky? That's what had just happened on Mount Carmel. An entire nation had got right with God. At one time, they said they turned their back on Baal, turned their back on the idol, and said, "The Lord, He is God." They had such a revival that in one day, the whole nation got right with God. Now, don't tell me God can't save them because they're so messed up, so bound up. Forget that. If God can save a whole nation in one day, then certainly He can save the folks that me and you know about. Can you say amen? Amen. The whole nation got saved. Man, what a revival. I said, what a revival. Brother Rodney, I feel like if I ever had a revival like that, you would never get me to come down. Hello? I feel like if I ever had a revival like that, Brother Holler, I'm telling you, I feel like I could run on that. Forget 40 days. I feel like I could run on that revival for years and years. Unfortunately, that's not the way we're set up. Huh? I said, unfortunately, that's not the way we're set up. Because the revival is barely over, and we've got Elijah running for his life. Hey, listen. He's just killed 450 men, and he's running from one woman. There's something wrong with that picture. Can you hear me? He was not running actually from Jezebel. He was actually running from the spirit of Jezebel. Somebody say amen. He was running away from that. Oh, the revival on Mount Carmel is forgot about. The fire falling is forgotten. Now he is running for his life. Now I want to tell you, this is where, listen, y'all, this is what I do all the time. I don't have another job. It's not because I don't know how to do other things. This is what God has called me to do. This is what I do all year long. I don't know how many days I need to sit down, but it'll be close to 250 to 300 days I was in church this past year. This is what I do right here. I go to church. Hello? And so I go from congregation to congregation. And as you go from place to place, Brother Oliver, you will begin to see there are patterns that begin to emerge among us. Hello? And I'm going to tell you what.
If this is not where the church is at, I don't know anything about it. I'll tell you, when you walk into a congregation and the Spirit of God is there and the Lord is moving, but I'm going to tell you, when you stand in the pulpit and you look out at the crowd and you look into their faces and the Spirit of God opens their spirit up to you, is what happens when you get in the pulpit. You know what you see? You see a lot of people that are spiritually and physically too, but physically, spiritually, and mentally exhausted. Come on now. They've been in such a spiritual battle. They've been in such a mental battle. They've been in such a fight inside themselves that they come to the house of God and we sit down on the pew and it's almost a relief to be here. It's such a relief to be here that the fatigue sets in. And man, you watch people sit down on the pew and I don't care if Michael the archangel was there tooting his horn. It wouldn't wake them up. They're spiritually exhausted. That is exactly where we find Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. He is spiritually exhausted. He is physically exhausted. He is mentally exhausted. He has been running from Jezebel with the thought, if they catch me, I'm going to die. The fate of all those 450 prophets are going to be the same fate that I am going to experience in just a little bit. But listen. Listen, he knows that Jezebel has her guards out looking all over the creation for him, if you'll allow me to use that terminology. And yet, he is so worn out and exhausted that he said, you know what? Even if it costs me my life, I've got to lay down.
All right.
I've got to go to sleep. Hey, he didn't have a bodyguard there. There was no soldiers gathered around him. There was nobody standing there saying, all right, Elijah, you take a nap and we'll sit here and wait on you and we'll watch and make sure nobody comes. There was nobody there to watch over Elijah except the good Lord, thank God. Hello?
Yeah.
I want to ask y'all something. Is there anybody identifies with what I'm saying with being weary with the battle? Hello? Just being weary with dealing with it. It seems like one man said, I was reading his writing, he said, if it had been one trial or two, I could have bore it. But when it was one right after another, and when it rains, it pours, and all of a sudden I feel like I am completely overwhelmed, and I don't know where to go, and I don't know where to run, and I don't know what to do. How many has been a victim of spiritual intimidation? Where the devil intimidates you. If you do that, I'm going to do this. You move up closer to God in this revival, I'll tear up everything. You know, I get tickled at the way, and I've already said something about the media, but I'll say something else. I get tickled about how the media comes up with phrases and words and terminologies, and all of a sudden everybody starts running them all at the same time, and it's like they're fresh and brand new, and we've heard them all of our life. They're talking points is what they call them. Here a while back, they came out with a talking point, and it was bullying. Hello? Bullying. Like it was something that just showed up. The playground where I lived. When I was going to school, they had a really, come on now. They wasn't even at my house where I live right now with my boys. But boy, all of a sudden it was a big deal. That's, man, you was hearing it on the news. Says you'd still bumper sticker, stop bullying, you know. And I mean, you go down to college, they started them up a chapter, stop the bullying chap. Come on now. I got news for y'all. The devil didn't get that memo.
That's right.
Somebody say amen. I said, the devil didn't get that memo. Hey, buddy, I'll tell you what, you can wear a Stop Bullying t-shirt all day long, and the devil will walk right by your t-shirt and mess with you anyway. Can you say amen? You say, old preacher, you don't know how spiritual I am. I just got through telling you, hey, Elijah was spiritual enough to pray a little bitty prayer, and fire fell down out of heaven. That did not make the devil crawl under a rock. Somebody say amen. That didn't make the devil pack his toys up and go home.
I got tickled one night. I was in a service up in the hills of Arkansas in the Ozarks. Bunch of hillbillies. I like them. I think like them. Act like them some of the time. The old brother comes sitting on the front seat. He's a rich old codger. He really is. He'd burn $100 bills in paper sacks probably. Well, he could. Owns not how much land. Still comes to church in his striped coveralls, overalls. Shoves them in his cowboy boots and sits on the front seat. He stood up one night. Brother Sheldon testified. This is what he said. He said, "You know what?" He said, "You know what?" He said, "You can offend your neighbor and he won't talk to you."
He said, "I'm going to tell you something else." He said, "You can even offend your family. They won't talk to you."
He said, "I'm going to tell y'all true. It's true." He said, "You can offend your wife. Sometimes she won't talk to you.
But you can't offend the devil. He just won't shut up. He keeps coming back." Somebody say amen. "Oh, preacher, you don't understand. I've been to the altar. I rebuked the devil." That's good. You'll probably have to do it again tomorrow, because I'll tell you what, he is intent on every one of us becoming so spiritually fatigued that we don't feel like we can go on. Somebody say amen. But I come to tell you, it is a necessity that right now we have a move of God. I said we have a move of God that backs the devil up in the corner. Somebody say amen. That we can tell him, "Get behind me, Satan," and he has to listen to us, because the power of the Holy Ghost is on us. Can you say amen? I'm about to start feeling right. He laid down under that juniper tree and went to sleep. Hey, what if one of Jezebel's folks shows up? Come on. Have you ever been so spiritually fatigued that you just didn't care? Oh, come on here now. Somebody act like you know what I'm preaching about. Have you ever been at the end of your rope where you said, I don't know how it's going to, I don't know what's going to go on. I don't know how to proceed. I'm sick and tired of fighting this battle. I'm sick and tired of being in this position. I can't get any relief. I can't get any help. I feel like God has forsaken me. I've run from the devil. That's all I feel like I'm doing. I'm not making any progress. I'm going backward.
Well, angel of the Lord shows up, leans over, shakes Elijah, and said, "Get up." Now, this is all he said. Didn't give him a big sermon. Hello? Didn't say near as much as I've already said. Only problem is we're hard-headed just like Elijah was. Takes a lot sometimes. That's the way to win friends and influence people, isn't it? Call them hard-headed. He said, "Arise and eat." You know, y'all love me, don't you? You kids. I'm glad y'all all love me, but I got to live with them. You know, we're all hunters. All of us. Well, Sister Darla, she kind of stays at the house, and she fries it for us when we come home. All the rest of us are hunters. If that bothers you, I'm sorry that you're offended. I'm not sorry. Don't make no difference to me. I'm going to do it anyhow. Hallelujah. If you're a vegetarian, that means you're a bad hunter as far as I'm concerned. That's how I feel about that. You don't have to worry about most of the things. I'll tell you what I feel. It's kind of funny, though. When I, and my kids, they get tore up. My little one there. The little one there, he killed 3 bucks this year himself. And so, yeah, we really are. I go in his room, and about 5 o'clock in the morning, and Man, if we've got some petty people here, they're in trouble. Hallelujah. And I just walk up and I reach up there and I shake him and I say, Colton, we're going deer hunting, you see. And I say, Colton, it's time to get up. That's all I got to say. Time to get up. I don't have to go back in there and see again. The next time I see him, he's going to look like an Eskimo walking out the door with so many clothes on. Hello? But when it's school day. Oh, come on now. Don't look at me funny now. When it's school day and you go in there and say, hey, guys, it's time to get up. Got to get started for school. Come back in a second time. I'm not real good at that second time. Come back in a second time. I said, get out the bed. Are we fixing to shed the bed and the blankets and everything else here? I said, get up. You know, and it's kind of funny. Get up. Kind of mechanical. That's exactly the way Elijah was. Elijah sat up and he ate and he drank. Now I need to preach on this just a minute right here. I want to tell you something that bothers me about this story. There was an angel of the Lord standing there and Elijah did not recognize a heavenly visitation. This is what bothers me about revival today. You come to revival, the power of God falls, and people walk out the door the same way they came. They shake you by the hand and they say, I hope the Lord passes by for me next time. I'll tell you, he passed by for you this time. The only problem is we've got a church world that's so asleep, they don't even recognize a heavenly visitation anymore. Somebody say amen. I don't know about y'all, but if an angel showed up at my house tonight and got me out of bed, Brother Barry, I'd be up tomorrow night and the next night. I think that dude's coming back here in a little bit. Somebody say amen. I want to tell you, I'd like to have a revival of where the church of the living God woke up and said there's a heavenly visitation that is passing by this place, and I got to have a move of God, and I got to have it right now. Raise your hands in this house and worship God. Oh, there'll be somebody that don't like it. Don't worry, they're sleepwalking. Don't get caught up in that crowd. They're sleepwalking. Here's what's so fatal. Here's what has happened to us in America. You say, why are you talking like that? Well, okay. I done told you this is what I do. But let's back up a little bit. This is all I've ever done. Long time before I preached a sermon. Hello? This is all I did. First words I ever said in my life. I didn't say mom and dad. Wouldn't that have been pretty? I said glory. First word I ever said. Boy, I wish that had made me holy. Didn't seem to have that effect, Brother Ronnie. I don't know what happened. Somewhere between the holy and my heart, something got messed up. There was a disconnect in there. Come on here now. What the deal was, I was in church all the time. That's what I was hearing all the time. Hello? I have watched us do this. I've been watching revival for a long time. And revival has become exactly what this scripture said. We have a revival, the power of God pulls. We kind of wake up and shake ourselves a little bit. We stagger around and realize Jesus has a table spread of where the saints of God is fed. He invites his chosen people coming nine. We come up to the front. We have us a big time. We eat. We say, boy, wasn't that a revival?
revival. And then the Bible said he laid down again. I come to tell you tonight, there is a necessity for revival now, where we never go back to the place we was at when revival showed up. There is a necessity now for a move of God that will change us for the rest of our life. I'm going to tell you something. We're either going to have it now or we're not ever going to have it. I said we're either going to have it now. I'm real careful. I'm real careful about saying the Lord said. You hear me? I'm careful right there. But I'm going to tell you a very strong impression that I had at the start of this service. We are starting revival. New Year's is coming up on us. We're at the end of the year. I had a very strong impression earlier in this service that there are some of you that will not be here this time next year. And the necessity is right now. I said the necessity is right now. Oh, somebody hear this preacher. I'm not saying that for sensationalism or to be some side of emotionalism. I'm telling you what I felt impressed in my spirit. I want to tell you something right now. I want to shake myself. I want God to shake me. I want a visitation of the angel of the Lord. But I don't want to lay down again and go right back to the same place I was when the angel showed up. Now, I don't know, how do you do that? How do you see an angel and go back to sleep? The only way you do that is not be totally woke up. You can't rationally do that. The Bible said he laid down again. You say, preacher, well, it's kind of hopeless, isn't it? No, it's not hopeless, and here's why it's not hopeless. He came again the second time. He could have walked off and said, I gave him an opportunity. Oh, I wish y'all'd help me just a little bit longer. He could have walked off, preacher, and said, I gave him an opportunity, and he ate a little, but he didn't get what he needed, and he went right back into the same position that I found him in. I'm going to leave him right there. I'm so glad God's not like that. But the angel came again the second time. Hey, every one of us can point back to places where God has agitated us, where he has moved on us, where he has shook us. But a lot of us tonight would have to say, I've been more awake at other times in my life than I am right now. I say, thank God for another visitation. Thank God for another revival. Thank God for another time when the Spirit of God comes to where we're at and shakes us again and says, arise and eat. Woo! This time, the angel gives a warning. First time, it was simply arise and eat. The second time, he gave a warning. I just read it to you. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 1. Huh? Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. It didn't say the town square. It didn't say the bar. It didn't say Congress or the White House. It said in the church house. Sound an alarm in the church house. You know what an alarm does? If you've got an alarm that goes beep, 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 you're going to sleep through that sissified thing. Huh? Hey, look, y'all. Where I live so far out in the woods, yeah, well, it wouldn't do me no good to get an alarm on my house because there wouldn't be nobody but the coyotes hear it if it went off. They might all howl. There wouldn't be hardly anybody else hear it. Hello? Don't ever break in my house if I'm married. There's a lot of things in there that makes loud noises, but it wouldn't be good for you. I'll hurt you and pray for you later. Hallelujah. Hello? Hey! But if I've got one on my car, or I've got one on my house, I want an alarm that goes, come on now. I want an alarm that lets people know there's trouble here. That's why I shout. That's why I lift my voice up. I sound an alarm in my holy mountain. I tell the people of God, the day of the Lord is near. It is nigh at hand. If you're going to have revival, are you going to have it now? Or you're not going to have it at all? I don't know about y'all, but I want a revival, an old time Holy Ghost, a revival. Raise your hands and magnify God in the house. We need a revival from the pulpit to the pew. We need a revival. It starts with me and you. Preacher, what you so stirred up about? Here's what I'm stirred up about. I'm stirred up about the warning. The journey is too great for you. Can I paraphrase that? You can't make it like the shape you're in right now, Elijah.
What the world? He just called fire down out of heaven.
Elijah, you don't have enough to make it. If Elijah didn't have enough at that point to make it, what kind of need do I have? Not a cost out of my head, am I? What kind of need must the church have today? He said, what the problem is, Elijah, is what you don't know is you've got days ahead of you where there is going to be no spiritual food at all. There's not going to be any going to the house of God and feeling a ripple run up your spine. There's not going to be any opening the word and there's a word jumps out of there at you. There's not going to be a getting down to pray and a shiver run up your spine because the whole, you're getting ready to hit a dry place, Elijah. And you can't make it from where you're at.
Arise, eat and drink.
For the journey is bigger than you are. I want to ask you a question. If this is your last revival between you and meeting God face to face, wouldn't you like to look back on it and say, boy, I got everything I needed to get that carried me all the way in? I got a hold of everything in that meeting, huh?
Luke chapter 19, I'm fixing to be through. Luke chapter 19, verse 42. If thou hadst known, even thou at least in thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. There was a place, there was a time. You could have got a hold of it. You could have got a hold of it. You could have got all you needed. You could have pulled up to the table. Everything was there. It was provided for you. Revival was there. The necessity was right then. You could have pulled up. You could have done it then. But he said, now they are hid from thine eyes. You cannot go back. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee. The enemy's coming and can pass thee round and keep thee on heaven's side. And he's not just going to do that because you didn't take advantage of it when it was there. It was available to you. Now you're going to be lain down even with the ground and thy children with you. They shall not leave one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation.
Oh, it's just another preacher. This is just another revival. It's just another highly emotional, radical dude up there.
And they knew not the time of their visitation. And the first night of this revival, the Holy Ghost sent me to tell you right here at Taylor Mill, the necessity's right now. I said the necessity is right now. You're going to have to get on fire, because if your lost loved ones are going to get saved, the necessity is now. I've lost some of you in transition somewhere. Are y'all hearing me? I said the necessity is right now. If we're going to have a revival where the lost get saved and don't go to hell, the necessity is now. If we're going to have a revival where some people get healing before they die, the necessity is now. If we're going to have a revival where some people hold on and last till the end of 2015, the necessity is right now.
I've got news for you. Some of you do not have what it takes to survive the gap that is ahead of you. You do not have what it takes to survive the spiritual gap. That's what happened. There was a gap of 40 days where there was nothing. There was no word from God. There was no prayer gotten through. There was nothing. And what he got then, in that second time, carried him. I believe that second time he said, "Woo, boy, wasn't I foolish last time. That's an angel right there. That'd about steal your appetite from you to start out with. Hello? If I don't eat this like I need to, you ain't going to make it, Elijah.
Hand it over to you.
Give it to me. Tell everybody else to get out the way. I'm coming through. Hello? You know what we're so good at? Looking around to see how everybody else reacts to the message. Looking around to see how everybody else is going to react. What are they going to do? I'm going to tell you what. They're not going to be there when I'm running all by myself. Hey, come on now. And the nights are dark. And the heaven feel like it's brass. They're not going to be anywhere around. So I tell you what I believe I'd do in this revival. I'd forget about my neighbor, of what he thinks about me. I think I'd say, oh my God, it's not my brother or my sister, but it is me, oh Lord. Stand all over the house. Raise your hands and magnify God right now. I want to ask you a question. I hope there's an altar call. My God, if there's not, we're in bad trouble. But is there anybody in here tonight that without further ado would say, I know I've got to have it right now, and I'm going to get it while the getting's good, and you'd get out of your pew and head toward this altar and say, I'm ready to have revival. ain't going to pull. I ain't going to beg you. That's not necessary after you preach like this. If there's something down inside of you that's saying, oh God, I know what the preacher preached is right. I don't have what it takes to survive. I don't know if I got what it takes to, hey, I got good news for you. There's an angel of the Lord that says, hey, I've shook you before, but I'm shaking you again. And I'm saying, arise and eat. The journey is too great ahead of you.
Dedicate me. In every way, Lord, in all I do, make me holy.
Hey!
For you are holy.
My kosa tahena moho sarabahaya. I'll tell you, we can have a few nights of revival where you pat yourself on the back and say, well, bless God, I went to revival every night. I did really good. Or you can have a real move of God in your heart. You can have an awakening in your heart to realize, oh my God, I've got to have more than I've ever had in my life.
In every way, Lord, in all I do.
Let me always, come on, church,
walk with you. I'm honestly striving.
Come on, church.
And I'll never.
We've had too many 3, 4, and 5 minute altar services. They never wake us up.
Sometimes I fall.
We never realize how bad shape we're in.
Sometimes I fail.
If the only time you bow your knee to God's in the church house, you're not awake.
You always see my need. Back in consistency, I know I'm unworthy, but do a work in me. Your righteousness.
God, give me a revival.
Without your anointing, Lord, I am powerless. I'm committed.
Go ahead, son.
To you.
Hallelujah.
Each day,
God, touch the brothers.
I draw closer each prayer I pray. Lord, I am asking, do a work in me.
Consecrate me. Dedicate. Somehow, and now I love him too much to fail him now.
I love him too much to fail him now.
Too much. I just can't break my vow.
For I promise the Lord that I would make it somehow. And now I love him too much to fail him now.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Look full
in his wonderful face. Will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Turn your eyes upon
Jesus.
Look
full in his wonderful face.
And the things of earth
will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
And it told thy love for me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer,
nearer, blessed Lord.
To the cross
where thou hast died.
Draw me
nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Draw me nearer,
nearer, blessed Lord,
to the cross. Where Thou hast died, draw me
nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side.
Draw me
nearer, nearer, blessed Lord,
to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me
nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side.
Praise God. I know that the Bible teaches us patience, but there's some things that's marked urgent. And I think revival is one of those things. There's an urgency on it. Jesus taught us patience, but He also said that we should not say 4 months and then cometh the harvest. He said now is the time. And I believe revival, the time for revival is right now. Right now. A lot of people have good intentions, but they never seem to fulfill. I'll get right someday. I know I'm not where I need to be. I'll get there someday. Right now is a good time. We got an opportunity right now, this week. And I feel the Lord working. I feel Him trying to pull for us. And why don't we just get in here right now and let God help us? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Right now, praise the Lord. I want Sister Eula, I want to anoint a prayer cloth for her daughter-in-law. Her mother and dad came here to this church for a long time. Her daughter-in-law has been suffering with cancer, I think, for a number of years, but recently it has gotten worse, and she's really been suffering. And I was praying for her this week. I really felt impressed about doing this, and I asked Sister Eula about it, and she said she thought it would be good. So I'd like for her, some of you ladies, some of you preachers to come, anybody wants to come, help us pray. And she's been praying too, of course, at home, and we thank the Lord for that. But let's ask God to do a miracle for her, both spiritually and physically. God is able to move. If you can't get down here, stretch your hand.